Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 917. Our topic is Q&A and the title is Shoulder Training for Strength. Recently on our Instagram channel, if you don't follow us on Instagram, we're under the name Brutal Iron Gym, please do so. We post daily and it's all educational content beyond what's covered in the podcast, so it's brand new information. So if you like the podcast, I promise you'll like the information we have on our Instagram page. So recently on Instagram, we asked if anybody had any requests for information, whether it was for a podcast, whether it was for videos in the gym, we could show through IGTV, Instagram TV, or YouTube. So we do have a YouTube channel as well under the name Brutal Iron Gym. So one of the questions we got was actually from email. So I find we get a mixture of people who will comment directly on Instagram posts, but actually overwhelmingly we get much more people who email us directly. And I'm guessing, but I'm assuming it's just people are afraid that what they want to ask might seem kind of, maybe they feel like it's a dumb question. Please don't ever think that. If it's something that you want to know, please let us know and then we'll let you know. So you can send an email, that's totally fine. But don't be afraid to ask questions on social media. That's not a bad thing. It just means you're willing to seek out information and willing to learn. That's never a bad thing. That's always a good thing. Always having the mindset of wanting to learn more is going to help you become better and better in life, not only in the gym, but outside of the gym as well. So we get a lot of emails, so I'm going through now, and thank you for those who sent emails, going through now and trying to make sure I address them in the upcoming podcasts. So the one we're going to address today is specific for shoulder training for strength. So I'll read through what the person wrote, and then we're going to get into this one. It's going to be a little bit of a long one, but make sure you have a pen and paper. We're going through a lot of information about training the shoulders for strength. So they wrote, I wanted to ask if you had a podcast episode on training shoulders specifically for strongman / heavy overhead pressing, and what all goes into it. Like, what are some focus points that most people don't think about when training for log press / strict press and other heavy overhead shoulder movements? I feel like I am having trouble building enough strength up in my shoulders right now, and they seem to be lagging behind. So any information would be really helpful. Thank you for the help as always, and I hope you have a great weekend. Well, thank you for that. I did have a great weekend, always do. And I'm glad that you found the podcast and everything helpful so far. So they want to know, how do we improve shoulder strength? And I thought it was nice and kind of a neat point that they made is, like, what are some focal points that most people don't think about? So we're actually going to start with that. Some of the most often overlooked components for overhead pressing is actually the stability of overhead pressing. So we know we have to have strong shoulders, strong triceps, strong muscles that move the weight. But we also have to have strong muscles that support the muscles that move the weight. So we have to have strong anchor points for those muscles to pull off of. Now, if anytime you're doing a heavy overhead press, if you're in a standing position, whether it's a log press, axle press, you know, just Viking press, any kind of overhead press with a barbell, from your toes to your head, everything's involved. So we want to make sure that all of that actually is kind of accounted for in our training. So what we're going to talk about here is the stability muscles and stability concepts associated with pressing. We're going to go through all of that. So real quick, I'll just give you the rundown. It's upper back strength and thoracic mobility. We'll talk about that. Core training for overhead stability, the serratus anterior. Glute training and hip positioning awareness. Biceps involvement. And then just the shoulder joint themselves being able to absorb shock, absorb weight force. So those are often the areas that are overlooked. So let's look at thoracic mobility first. So this is basically scapular mobility. How well can we move our shoulder blades? For us to get our arms extended overhead without improper kind of adjustments from other joints and other body positions, for us to have our arm straight overhead while still having a proper and neutral spinal position, for a lot of people that's a challenge. And what it comes down to is one of the components could be weakness in scapular mobility, scapular bracing. So the ability for them to pull their shoulder blades inward and downward, so that way they can open up the shoulder joint to extend the upper arm bone up overhead. So what you want to look at is you want to work on creating movement in your scapula, your shoulder blades, but then also stability in a fully contracted position. So examples for movement is scapular retractions. There are a gajillion variations. So one of the documents I use that I created myself for writing programs for clients, it is a document, a Word document, that has the exercise name, the video link for it, and it has about 20 to 25 or so exercises per page, and the document right now is up to 103 pages. So let's go in the low end of the average. Is it averages about 20 exercises per page for 103 pages. So that's 2,060 exercises. That is the document that I've created myself, and that's what I use to kind of reference for video links for clients' programs. I add to that document all the time, but I actually am well aware of and can teach 2,060 exercises and actually multiple nuances of each exercise. This is all I do. I love it. But to give you an idea of that is just how many options there are for exercises and ways to kind of move and position your body, ways to stimulate different aspects that we want to do. So, for example, if you were to YouTube search scapular retractions, there are some where you can do from your elbows, some you can do from your hands, some you can do combined with like a downward dog position or a plank position, pike position. There's just a lot of variations. So scapular retractions is definitely going to be something that you'd want to include in your workouts. Now, I'm going to go through here in the podcast later on and talk about a sample workout structure. So you'll see in a second here where these would go into play in regards to our typical workout format. Then we also want to pay attention to scapular support. So if I can get my scapula to move forward and backward, to get, you know, in and down in the right position, can I then hold them into that position as I do movements? So there are examples of different movements where you'd have your scapula pulled inward and downward, and then you would also be creating motion elsewhere. That can be something like a Cuban press is a good example of that, something we call cobra wings. There's a lot of variations of those, but if you look at a Cuban press, if you search Brutal Iron Gym Cuban press on YouTube, you'll see me performing the exercise. There's a lot of different ones. There's a really cool warm-up that I like from Louis Simmons using exercise bands, and it's about 6-7 different movements. You do about 50 reps of each. It burns like hell, but it builds bulletproof shoulders. I actually use that to heal my shoulders. I popped both my shoulders out of place in football when I was younger and had a bunch of shoulder injuries, especially to my left side, and I've been able to rehab all of those. So it's been pretty awesome to be able to figure that stuff out and fix it along the way. Then combined with thoracic mobility, not only do we want to be able to move our shoulder blades, not only do we want to be able to stabilize our shoulder blades, we also want to be able to have nice strong upper back. So all the muscles that relate to upper back positioning. And that would be not only our upper traps, but our lower traps, you know, rhomboids, lats, serratus anterior. We have a million of them. I'm blanking on some of them even. But there's a billion muscles in the back, and we want to make sure we have all of those nice and strong, so that way we can stabilize and hold the shoulder joint itself in the best position while pressing. So that means we just do a lot of rows, a lot of pull-ups and pull-downs. So you should be training your back a crap ton to make sure you have strong overhead abilities. So you want to be doing lots of rows, lots of pull-ups and pull-downs, and I would typically be recommending those a minimum of twice a week, if not three or four times a week, in different ways and different variations. So for example, one of the ways in which I like to prepare for overhead presses is actually to do a thoracic movement, like a scapular mobility, maybe scapular retractions, in a plank position from my elbows. That way I can work on activating my core in a plank while also doing the scapular retraction. That's a pain in the ass, by the way. Fantastic movement, very good challenge. And then I'll pair that with maybe pull-ups or pull-downs. So I'll just go to our pull-down machine, and I'll do a couple sets behind the head, a couple sets in front of the face, while combining that with the scapular retraction plank and that's a great warm-up. By the time you get to the overhead press, your whole body's ready to go. Everything's fired up. Everything's prepared. So you have a good mind-muscle connection with your stabilizers. And then you can do some awesome pressing movements. So that's going to be the first thing we'd look at is upper back strength and thoracic mobility. Second thing we'd want to look at is our core stability, our core strength, specific to overhead stability. So the serratus anterior, if you don't know what that muscle is, just Google it. Serratus is S-E-R-R-A-T-U-S. Again, that's S-E-R-R-A-T-U-S, and thankfully autocorrect will probably fix that for you if you get it wrong. But serratus anterior, A-N-T-E-R-I-O-R, are like fan muscles, kind of, they look like a fan on the side of the ribs, and they help with movement of our shoulder blades kind of forward and like down and forward. It's basically getting them into the position where you can have your upper arm bone up over your head. So you'll see a lot of overhead pressing athletes will have massive, really strong, well-defined serratus anterior. So it's pretty badass looking. So we would want to work on that by doing like overhead carries. A lot of people, when they think of training their core, they just think of crunches or even leg lifts. But you can do overhead carries, like unstable carries. So we'll carry like sandbags. We'll carry, we have pipes full of water, like a third full of water. So the water's sloshing around. Call them slosh pipes. We'll carry slosh pipes around. We'll even carry barbells over our head with weights hanging off of them, which is referred to as a bamboo carry. We do offset carries where you don't grab the middle of the barbell like evenly. You actually you grab the bar unevenly and have to deal with kind of like cranking on your obliques and serratus anterior to get stability. We also do different variations of Turkish get-ups. You can do an overhead side bend. Just a lot of things where you're holding something up over your head and having to stabilize and move around. That's going to help with just kind of building the musculature of the core to be able to hold an overhead position. The other thing we want to look at as core training is making sure that we have the ability and the awareness to brace our abdomen in our core, our abs, to help protect our lower back when we're in an overhead pressing position. So too often when people want to press overhead, they just arch their lower back, so they flex their lumbar spine, and then they try to hold all this stress in their lumbar spine as their arms are overhead. You definitely want your abdomen, your front side of your core, to be involved as well. So you would mimic this sensation while you're pressing of mimicking the sensation of holding your pee. Like you want to stop yourself from peeing and pulling your belly button in. That's going to help create front side stability and bracing to counter some of the stress on the lumbar spine. And then that leads us into our next section we'd want to be training is our glutes. So your glutes actually flex to stabilize the hips themselves, and it can help stabilize the bottom of the spine, the bottom of the spinal rector muscles, kind of help stabilize that that lumbar part of the spine. So if you have big, strong glutes, it's going to help save your lower back when you're doing overhead presses. So it just gives you more stability, more strength. What you want to do is basically just doing, hip thrust, RDLs, whether it's with barbell, dumbbell, single leg, or both legs. You can do stiff leg deadlifts. Again, barbell, dumbbell, single leg, double leg. You can do variations of deadlifts. So if you're doing, barbell conventional deadlifts, that builds the glutes. You do hex bar deadlifts, that builds the glutes. If you're doing strongman stuff, you can do like car simulation deadlifts. You can do axle bar deadlifts. Just any kind of deadlift is going to help build the glutes as well. Then in regards to hip positioning, if we have what would be called anterior post tilt. Anterior hip tilt. Okay. So if you have a forward hip tilt, if you don't know what that is, just go ahead and search that as well on Google. But basically what it is your hips. If we look at the front side of the hip and the back side of the hip, there's a neutral position. If you have a posterior hip tilt, it would look like you're kind of tucking your butt underneath you. If you have an anterior or forward hip tilt, it looks like you're kind of like sticking your butt back. And what that happens is if you have that position naturally where you have a forward hip tilt, you're going to have tight hip flexors, tight upper quads, and what it's going to do is cause, in result, a tight lumbar spine, tight lower back. It causes a forward rotation of the spine at the base, which then makes it harder to get into an overhand position with your arms extended overhead. So we want to pay attention to hip positioning. And this can be helped by just simply stretching the hip flexors, stretching the quads. You can also work on what's called a dead bug exercise, learning how to brace the spine neutrally. But those are some things you'd want to look at that people never often look at. That if your hips are tilted forward, it's going to make it harder for you to get your arms overhead. So you want to make sure you have proper hip tilt positioning. Then we also want to look at biceps. So when we think of pressing, we typically would think of shoulders and triceps. We don't typically think of the biceps, but the biceps are part of shoulder stability, and they're involved in kind of the positional control and the eccentric control of any kind of overhead press. So they are extremely important in overhead pressing. Especially if you're looking at log clean and press, how like the clean part uses a lot of biceps. So you want to be doing a lot of hammer curls and a lot of overload eccentrics. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit when we do these exercises and variations and stuff. But you want to be doing a lot of hammer curls, a lot of overload eccentrics. What that means is you might bring the dumbbell up in a neutral position, like a hammer curl position, but at the top of the curl you turn your palms up, and then you slowly lower the weight back down. The reason why that's an overload for the eccentric is you can typically hammer curl more than you can palms up curl. Well, if you hammer curl the contraction, you can then palms up the eccentric to get an overload on the eccentric, because you'll typically be able to do a weight that you normally would not be able to raise to the top with a palms up position. So that's definitely something you want to consider is bicep training in order to help your overhead pressing. And then the last thing we look at, the kind of the often overlooked things, are joint stability for the shoulders themselves. The ability to absorb shock, absorb weight load. And this can be done with plyometric push-ups. We can do with speed pressing against bands. You can also do body weight movements like inchworms is a great abdominal exercise that also involves kind of shoulder structure support. So just the ability for the shoulders to absorb weight load is very important as well. So those are the often overlooked areas that most people aren't training. So I'm going to run back through them real quick. Is upper back strength and thoracic mobility. We have core training specific to the serratus anterior and kind of overhead stability in the core. And then we have glute training and hip positioning awareness. We also have bicep training and then shoulder joints themselves for shock absorption. Told you this was going to be a lot of information. So if you need any help, not to cackle like an evil villain, but if you need any help remembering any of this, just shoot us an email. My email is brutalironjim@gmail.com. I'll send you the outline of today's podcast, and you can see where we have all this stuff written down. But these are often overlooked, and you can see why. It's not intuitive that you need to train your glutes for overhead press. It's not intuitive that you need to pay attention to hip positioning for overhead press. So these are things that people don't often think of, but they absolutely 100% have direct influence on your performance. Now, if we look at the muscles we would think of, our pressing muscles, we're going to look at the deltoids, which is a fancy word for the shoulders. There are actually three sections to the shoulders. There's a front section, a middle section, and a rear section. If you just do only overhead presses, you're actually underdeveloping your shoulder as a whole. Therefore, you are underdeveloping your ability to use the shoulders in their kind of most efficient, most powerful manner. So you want to make sure you're training your shoulders not only to the front of the shoulder, like the overhead press variations, but you want to be training the middle of the muscle of the shoulder by doing a lot of lateral raise variations, and you want to train the rear shoulder by doing a lot of reverse flies and bent over lateral raises. Then triceps, you want to be training those like a beast, okay? So a lot of close grip presses with barbells, Smith machine, dumbbells. You want to do a lot of tricep extensions like skull crushers or variations of skull crushers, and a lot of dips. So those are going to be kind of great ways to build up the triceps through more isolated focus. Then biceps. So we talked about them, but they're definitely going to be involved. So training considerations would be, okay, looking at grip variations. If you want to get better at log press, make sure you're doing a lot of neutral grip press movements. So if you're adding dumbbell presses, overhead presses into your workout, make sure you do a neutral grip to get better specifically towards the log. A lot of angle variations. You don't always have to press directly overhead. You can also press at like a 75 degree angle or a 60 degree angle. That still helps develop the shoulders. It still helps to kind of stress the body in a unique way, but still specific to overhead pressing. We also look at eccentric load variations. So you can do a lot of weight releasers. So you can actually hang something off the bar and lower your press from the very lockout, really slow down towards the bottom, down by your chin slash chest, and have the weight releasers kind of hit the floor and fall off. And that's a great way to overload the eccentric portion. You can also overload the eccentric portion by doing just simply push press, where you use your legs, but then you slowly control the eccentric load down to the original starting position for the press without legs involved and being nice and slow. So those are some basic things we'd look at. And then also just time under tension considerations, making sure that you're hitting kind of a variety of time under tension ranges so that we can get a variety of the benefits of the different ranges. So for example, if you do exercises that last about 10 to 20 seconds of time under tension, so the muscles are being stressed, they have the weight load on them, they're moving something for 10 to 20 seconds, that's a really great for a basic strength stimulus. If you do time under tension of around 20 to 30 seconds, that's really good for kind of heavy-based muscle damage. It helps build muscle if you eat correctly for future strength possibilities. A bigger muscle can be a stronger muscle. And it also helps build muscle around the joints, which helps prevent small little annoyances or injuries. So it's good for joint safety. If we do exercises of 30 seconds or more, it kind of works more towards muscular endurance. It helps get blood flow and water flow through the joints, helps for restorative efforts. It also is a lower stress level variation of growth stimulus. So you'd want to make sure you have all of those included in your training. So let's look at a specific workout. If we look at a workout structure, I'm going to give you an example structure, and you would do this workout about twice a week. So your movement preparation, right when you get in the door, you want to do some movement to help position the hips in the right position. So often we're coming into the workouts just from sitting a long time or standing a long time. Just we're not really ready to move well. We're kind of stiff. So you would do some adductor foam rolling. You might do a glute stretch. There's a cross-legged glute stretch that I really like having clients do. Again, you can search for on YouTube, just type search Brutal Iron Gym cross-legged glute stretch. We also have a lunge stretch that we use with PNF variation, like PNF kind of muscular stimulation, which is you contract a countering muscle and then you release, and that helps you further stretch into the targeted muscle that you're looking for. So we have a lunge variation of that. We have a hamstring variation of that. So that way helps open up the quads, open up the hamstrings, open up the adductors. A lot of good variation there. And then we have an internal-external rotation drill that you can do with that PNF variations of the contract-release method, and it really helps to open up internal and external rotation of the shoulder joint itself to help you get your arms overhead with less kind of annoyance and pull and resistance from kind of nearby muscles. We'll just say it that way. So it kind of just helps open up rotation of the upper arm bone free of other muscles being involved. So you're going to do that as your movement prep. And that can actually be done in less than 10 minutes. I've timed myself and I've gone through that sequence in 8 minutes. So it's not like you're taking a half hour to do all that crap. You can get it done in 10 minutes or less. Then we go into some dynamic warm-up, kind of really getting the body up and moving. So, for example, we typically include some kind of core work with shoulder involvement, and that would be an example of the inchworms. So you can YouTube that, and you'll see it. We would also then circuit that with some upper back work. Maybe we'll do some pull-ups, pull-downs, maybe do some cable rows, just something that kind of gets your upper back warmed up and moving. And then we want to do some overhead press warm-ups. So typically, I would start to warm up the movement while I'm doing my core work and my upper back work as just kind of a circuit. So I would do a set of the core exercise, do a set of the upper back exercise, and if I'm doing, say, barbell strict press, I would just go over to the rack, I'd grab a bar, make sure it's in good position, and just crank out 10 reps of just the bar itself. And then I'll go back through the core, back through the upper back, and maybe start doing my first weighted warm-up for the overhead press. Then, after you go a couple rounds of that, we get just basically right into your main strength exercise. That would be any kind of overhead press variation. It doesn't even really matter what it is, whatever you want to work on. You just do some really heavy basic work. There's a lot of variations of sets and reps you can do, but a good kind of way to start is just 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps. Pick a weight you can at least do 3 reps with. Once you can do that weight for 5 reps for all 3 sets, you want to try to move up in weight. So you would just kind of try every single week the best you can, 3 sets of 3 to 5 reps. Then we do our assistance work. We want to make sure we target all of the muscles that we talked about that are specific to pressing. Now, we'll talk about what to do with those non-specific muscles, the overlooked ones, but your assistance work on an overhead press workout should include a secondary type of press. So maybe if I did a barbell strict press, I might then do a dumbbell press variation as my secondary press. I'll then include that with an upper back exercise. If I did an upper back exercise in my warm-up, say I did a pull-up, like I did a pull-up or a pull-down, I would do a row later in the workout. If I did a row during my warm-up, I'd do a pull-up or a pull-down later in my workout. So that way I'm hitting both angles on the upper back. So you do that for a circuit, you know, anywhere from 2, 3, 4 sets. And typically in that one, I would be looking for the time under tension range of that 20 to 30 second range. So whatever reps I'd perform that would give me 20 to 30 seconds of time under tension is what I would do. I then go into another circuit, but this time with triceps and biceps work. So more specific tricep work, maybe, you know, skull crushers, maybe dips, just something that definitely specific to triceps, and put in some heavy bicep work there. Now, typically with that one, if I'm feeling fresh and excited that day and I'm feeling good, I might do 20, 30 seconds time retention. If I kind of feel beat up and tired, and maybe I'm achy from previous days, I'll back it off to 30 plus seconds of time retention, just give my joints a little less stress. Then on other training days, you would do more upper back work. You would do the overhead carries. You'd include the glute work. So maybe on a different day, you have deadlift variations, squat variations, and you can include the overhead carries on those days. So that is an example of a full workout. Now, I told you this was going to be long, and I'm trying to go through it quickly, but hopefully not too quickly. So just a quick reminder that you can email us at burlirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the outline for today's podcast. The last two things I want to look at are definitely overlooked, but they're not kind of muscles. It's technique. Too often people just kind of like, they watch one tutorial video and think their technique is good, and then they just try to beat the shit out of their body to try to get stronger whenever their technique is actually still crap, and there's a lot of ways they can still improve their technique. So I was telling somebody the other day, I watched a couple months back, there was a female training for a strongman competition, and she was working on axle overhead press. And every single time she would try to bend her legs to get some drive, to get some leg drive into the push, she would unfortunately drop her elbows. So her elbows would lower an inch or two, and that would cause kind of a forward momentum or forward of the center of gravity position of the weight load. So as she was driving with her legs, she was having to fight that bad positioning before she could even generate force into an overhead. So unfortunately, she did hit a good PR that day, but she had so much more in her if she would have been able to kind of be aware of her elbow positioning. Since I wasn't her coach, I didn't really want to step in. People don't usually take advice well when it's a competing coach. So maybe I should have, I don't know, but I felt bad for her because there was just that simple element that if her coach hopefully pointed out to her, because she does film herself and send in videos to her coach, I hope that coach pointed that out to her because she was missing some weight that she really could have been capable of doing. Another thing we offer is we have free form check on Instagram under the, if you use the hashtag Big Form Check, BigFormCheck, Big Form Check. Post any video you want on Instagram, include the hashtag Big Form Check, and I'll provide feedback for you. So it's free, absolutely free. I just enjoy doing it. I love doing it, and I appreciate people that allow me to help. So it's just exciting to help. It's kind of a bummer, like when you know how to help somebody and they don't, and you don't have an opportunity to do it. You just kind of feel bad for the person, and it just kind of stinks. So if you would like any help, I'm always happy to do it for free if you use the hashtag Big Form Check. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about is just nutrition. I want you to listen to podcast number 739. Again, that's podcast 739. Go find it. If you can't find the link, email us at burlirongym@gmail.com. I'll send it to you. But please listen to podcast number 739. It's titled Caloric Timing Around Workouts. You want to make sure that your nutrition supports very high intensity, high volume, aggressive workouts so you can maximize your adaptation stimulus for strength. You also want to make sure you're eating absolutely appropriate post-workout and meeting your overall daily calories. This allows you to maximize adaptation response. So nutrition will directly impact your results. It'll either hinder you or it'll help you. So please go listen to podcast number 739 and learn how to eat going into your workout and how to eat after the workout. Okay, this was a lot of information, but this is what the person asked about, and I want to make sure I provide as much knowledge as I possibly can. So there's everything you need to know about what is often overlooked, how to address the best address the pressing muscles that we all pretty much know of, but how we can make sure we're doing it the right way, and then also a sample structure for a overhead press workout. Now, we do offer programming. We have programming specific for strength development overall, whether it's strength development towards powerlifting, whether it's strength development towards strongman, or whether it's just strength development in general. We have monthly programming at $50 a month. You get training programs that renew exercises every single month. They have tutorial videos. It tells you the exact sets and reps. Has everything you need. We also include nutrition information within that program, morning motivational messages, accountability tracking, technique review, and education. Support. It's everything, including the kitchen sink, everything you would need. And these programs are rating based on the goal. So they're at $50 a month. We do have one-on-one kind of specific services where we do programming for the individual. So it's written for the individual what their goal is, whereas these programs are written for the goal. So anybody who wants to do strongman, $50 a month, here's a strongman program. That works really well. And I make sure the programs are damn good, I promise. But it's not going to be as good as if the program is written specifically for you. It isn't. But often people can't afford that service. I can't afford to give it any cheaper due to the time investment and me still needing to pay bills. So I do promise I try to charge as least as possible. But this at least gives a lower cost option that people can still get great workouts. What I found was people were getting monthly programming from other resources and the program sucked. They were awful. And I just kind of felt frustrated that people were having to follow crappy programs. So I wanted to create a lower cost program option. So that's why we did monthly programming. Cool. Okay, well, hopefully this was helpful. If you need anything at all, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you liked today's podcast, if you found it helpful, please actually click like on the podcast platform you're on for this podcast. It helps the podcast be found better in searches. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it. If you share the podcast into other people's lives, we can help them live healthier and happier lives. So thank you if you do share the podcast. I sincerely appreciate it. And then if you like the information that we present in our podcast, you can always find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Promise us good content. And then if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, if there's ever anything that you want to ask, like this person did, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.